Welcome back to the pod.
Welcome back, everyone. How is your day going?
And I would like to welcome everyone to our next live show, Saturday, December 8th at the Hollywood Improv.
Oh my God, I hear it's going to be a wham, bam, shang-a-lang.
It is the hottest slot in town, Saturday, 9 p.m. At the best comedy club in the world. I think we made it, bro.
The Comedy Store? Is that the Comedy Store?
Oh!
Oh.
Burn!
Oh.
Whoa, the levels just got way
Yeah, you just peaked
high.
The fuck up. Jesus Christ.
Paige, the booker at the Improv, if you're listening to this, I disagree with what he just said.
It was a joke.
Please keep giving me stage time.
It was a joke.
But yeah, dudes and dudettes listening at home, got another live podcast. Like I said, December 8th, Saturday at 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Improv. Click the link in the bio if you want tickets. Only 50 seats available.
It's going to be a good time full of tears, laughs, and cum.
Guess what? I'm pursuing new management.
Yep.
And there might be some suits in the room watching me.
Really?
Yeah, not an ideal environment because I'm going to be hosting at a live podcast in front of an audience who has proven to be intimidated by comedy clubs.
Yeah.
No, we love the live podcast audiences, but it takes them a while to warm up.
Yeah, they're not like the most warm in terms of, well, I mean, all the
comedians,
well, they're warm, but they're not warm of it, like the darkest shit.
They're warm as in like they're good people.
No, but yeah, but they're not open to incest jokes.
Well, no,
which is the problem.
They're not warmed up. Like it's a lot of their first time at a comedy club.
Yeah,
in the Improv Lab, which is a small room, can be a little scary
because
it's so close to the stage.
Yeah, it's really intimate.
That I'm like pretty much spitting on the front row, and I think maybe that turns them off a little bit.
Probably.
But yeah, dude, I don't think you know the guest that we're gonna have on the podcast.
For when?
He's going to do stand-up at the live podcast.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know.
He's going to do stand-up, and then I believe we'll have him on stage for a little bit.
Ooh.
But you need to check out his content. So let's watch this video right quick. If my computer unfreezes. Where did this go? There it is. All right. This is my good friend, Chad Kroger. I'll just play the video.
Chad Kroger's from Nickelback.
Yeah, yeah. They have the same name, actually. For real. All right, check it out.
Next speaker. Yes, sir. Identify yourself.
What up, council? My name is Chad Kroger.
All right, so he went to a city hall council meeting where people in the community can go and say, I think our community needs this, or something's wrong with our community, and here's what I think.
Yeah.
All right. Boom. So, like, a town hall meeting. Here we go. And this is on the security camera footage. And Chad uploaded it to his YouTube page. He's got something to say, people. Let's hear him out.
I'm an activist and house party enthusiast. Over the past week, I've been in a state of deep despair upon hearing the news that LA is trying to outlaw house parties in the Hollywood Hills. I am here determined to stop this future atrocity. House parties were the bedrock of my development as a young man in San Clemente. My first introduction to manhood came when the captain of my water polo team, Boomer Kingsley, asked me to shotgun a tall can of Bud Light in front of the whole squad at his end of the season bash. His parents were in Tahoe at the time, so we tore that weekend up. It was epic, and I was super stoked. My newfound confidence gave me the courage to ask out the most popular girl in school, Lauren Stockholder, to prom that year. She rejected me, and I had to go with Stacy McMillan, but I didn't care because I was so amped on chugging with my boys. That's what house parties do. Raging at house parties is the truest
Thank
way
you.
To party.
Next speaker, please come and identify yourself.
What up, council? My name is JT Parr. I am also here to defend parties in the Hollywood Hills. I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands. I discovered I was great at raging, and it revealed wonderful things about myself. I could relate to bros regardless of what kind of bro they were. I could be at a party and moon people and everyone would laugh, you know, be witty. Or I could play beer pong and compete with real integrity. In short, I fulfilled my potential. If you outlaw house parties, you may keep the volume down, but an externality is that you may keep people from bonding. America needs bonding. People need to put aside their differences and find common joy. There's no more effective environment for that than a freaking rager. This is best exemplified in me and Chad's relationship. We were star-crossed. He a surfer, me a bodyboarder.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to welcome you to L.A. Council's
Jesus.
Bill and Ted's excellent adventure.
That's funny.
So that has almost a million views on YouTube. I got to shut this off.
That was great. Almost.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. So the first dude there, his name is Chad Kroger.
Yeah.
I've known him for like 5 years. Mm. And he'll be our first guest on the podcast. He's going to do stand-up.
Mm.
And then also be a guest on the live podcast December 8th at the Hollywood Improv. Click the link in the bio. So what'd you think about that?
I thought that was really funny, but I also think it's going to be a little weird. The live podcast is going to be an introduction to somebody I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
That's going to be strange.
Well, you'll learn a lot about him during his stand-up set.
Yeah.
I tried to get him in here for this episode.
Yeah.
But turns out when you try to book a guest at 1 a.m., like I did last night, it doesn't always work out.
I don't know why that would happen. You'd think it would.
No, but Chad is really a unique voice in the comedy community.
Mm.
Like, I can never tell when he's kidding or not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I only have seen that. I don't know. I haven't seen his stand-up.
It's really funny.
Really?
It's very similar to that.
Does he do characters? I'm confused.
He is just himself, and he... But he is really like a bro. He's like a surfer guy.
Mm.
I don't know. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure out his yeah. energy, I guess.
It's he's got a confusing act, but like it's not like you'll know when to laugh and it's funny, but you'll be like, is this real?
Yeah. I'm kind of scared, but that's okay.
I actually connect with him a lot. He was one of the first friends I made in LA, and I was like, dude, you sound like friends I grew up with.
Yeah.
Just like, dude, homage, dude, locals only. He actually runs a monthly show at the Improv called Locals Only.
Really?
He's performing right before us. He has a show right before our live podcast. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Mm.
So now everyone's going to go see that show instead of ours.
It's true.
But yeah, it'll be fun. I can't wait to see you react to him.
I can't wait to react to him and be confused by what he does.
Hell yeah.
On stage. Are you drinking black coffee?
I sure am, bud.
Huh.
That's how I roll, dude.
Racist.
You know, there's a funny line in Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Mm.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith film. Keith Richardson, I think that's his name.
Yeah, he goes, can I get some coffee? Black. He says, can't you see we're talking? White.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
Of coffee, black. Can't you see we're talking? White. Yeah, what Brandon just said.
Yeah.
So, dude,
how you been doing, man? You still a sexist?
Yeah, I'm still a misogynist.
Nice.
No, but I did go. I saw my therapist yesterday, and it was the first time I saw her since she called me a misogynist. And I let her know that I processed the feelings. I did some research on misogyny online, so that's all accurate. I let her know that I called some of my female friends. Called my mom, talked to my sisters, talked to some bros that I used to crush puss with. And I'm not a fucking misogynist. I love cunts.
Yeah, 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 man.
Just kidding.
You love broads.
We actually talked about that term broad, too.
You did.
But I did tell her that she offended me and that I was angry with her. And she was like, great, let's talk about it. You have the right to be offended. And she said that she doesn't actually think I'm a misogynist.
Mm.
But if someone was listening, she brought up this podcast.
Mm.
She was like, I listened to the podcast. It's like, it definitely, like, if people don't know who you are,
yeah,
they might not know when you're kidding.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I agree. But I think my audience knows I'm kidding. But she was like, yeah, but what about new listeners? They're going to hear you saying broad and cunt.
Yeah. But they'll get it as it goes along. If they keep, you know, if we lose some stragglers when you say cunt every now and again, then, you know, we'll be fine.
But it did get me thinking, because she was like, the language you use, whether it's in jest or not, will, you're putting that language out there, and then people are going to make an opinion on you based on that language. So just, you know, maybe not say crushing puss. Maybe say have sex.
Oh.
But it's hard because I pound vag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You smash cooch. Hell yeah, bro.
Jimmy Kennedy has a funny joke.
You annihilate puss.
That.
Wait, what does he do?
I don't want to give it away, but...
Nah, rats.
It's just saying how, like, dudes are watching too much porn and, like, they think it's real. It's a common premise, but the way he does it is really funny. I was just on the road with him.
Yeah, I saw that. How was that?
It was good. Let's talk more about misogyny, though.
Oh, sure.
Because I had many opportunities to be a misogynist on the road.
What does that mean?
Just dames trying to get in my pants, bro.
Really?
Yeah, but I have a girlfriend, so I couldn't do it.
Man, there you go. Strike number one, misogyny. That's more just infidelity, but...
Yeah, I mean, all right. Don't tell anybody, but I cheated on Jenny.
Oh, okay. I won't tell anybody.
Okay, I had sex with Jamie Kennedy.
Really?
Fuck.
Okay, can you say it one more time?
I had sex with Jamie Kennedy.
Nice, I won't tell anyone.
Okay, I had sex with Jamie Kennedy.
Cool.
It turns out when you go on the road with Jamie Kennedy, as only male comedians, it's weird. Every male opener has to have sex with him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's kind of, I don't know. He must look
in
up
front
to
of the audience?
Yeah, which was strange. Mm. It's his closer.
Mm. He opens in you with his closer.
Yeah. You could say he finishes.
Mm.
His closer is him finishing, so it's appropriate.
Yeah.
He finishes inside me.
Mm.
Anyways, Jamie's actually like kind of a paranoid individual.
Sure.
So he might hear this and be like, dude, you can't say that. Bro, dude. I don't know, dude. You can't say that. I don't know.
That's a pretty good impression, actually.
Thank you.
That was very good. It's like he was in the room with me.
Bro, when are you bouncing? He texts strangely.
Wow.
Like he spells.
Maybe we shouldn't be saying this because he's going to be fucking so paranoid.
No, he doesn't text strangely. Just like if he said should, it'd be S-H-U-D.
Oh, sure. People do that.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. It's fine.
Holy shit, dude. We have the same mug.
We do?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Boston? You have a Boston mug?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how.
Thanks, man.
Of course.
I'm going to take a sip of this coffee. Say something.
Something, something, something. Mother's in my asshole. Go ahead. Ooh, ASMR.
Ooh, that hits the spot. All right, easy now.
Okay.
But I'm sorry if I have offended anybody on this podcast with my misogynistic remarks.
You have.
Yeah, I probably have.
Yeah, and you should apologize.
You know, we got a comment, a review on iTunes somewhat recently, and it was by a dude who was like, I love these guys. As a homosexual, it took me a little while to get used to it, but now I love it. And I was like, fuck, what are we doing?
Wait, as a homosexual? What are we doing that's...
The guy commenting was a homosexual.
No, I got that, but like, but I don't understand. Like, why is there you have to jump over a thing in order to like us if you're homosexual? What is it? Just because we're two straight guys?
I don't know. I assumed maybe we've been being homophobic as well as misogynistic. Brandon just gave a anti-gay hand signal when he said that.
I did.
I wish there was an anti-gay hand signal. We should invent that.
You want to try it right now?
No.
All right. Because we wouldn't be really interesting for the listener because it was just our hands.
Yeah.
Can't see anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so we're sexist. We're homophobic. Are we racist too?
Everyone is.
Nice.
I talked about that with my therapist.
You talked about racism?
She was like, everyone's racist. She was like, I have misogynistic traits too that I am working on myself.
Your therapist?
Yeah.
Who's a woman?
He's a 65-year-old lesbian woman. I think everyone is everything. Like, everyone's a little bit misogynistic.
And then a little bit racist.
Everyone is definitely a little bit racist.
Yeah.
Just by proxy? Is that the word?
You mean just by being...
Just by symbiosis. That's not the right word. It's just by growing up in America.
Yeah.
I told her, I'm assuming I'm misogynistic in ways I'm unaware of because I'm a male who grew up in America.
Uh-huh.
So, like, please tell me when I'm hating women.
Yeah. Did she think the same thing for homophobia? I don't know if everybody's homophobic.
Yeah. Well, she definitely said everyone's racist to some degree.
What a great therapist.
She didn't say everyone's misogynistic. Mm. I added that.
Yeah.
But she was like...
That's kind of weird that she would say, yeah, everyone's racist.
Everyone is a little
That's
bit racist.
That's why I have my KKK plaque on my wall. It's just because everyone's racist. It's not because I'm just racist.
Yeah, and I'm just a little...
Everyone is.
I'm just a little bit racist, and that's why my KKK flag is small.
Yeah, because I'm a little racist.
But yeah, I think everyone is a little bit racist.
I mean...
You don't agree?
No. I mean, only because I think everyone's got a little bit of like, I don't think this is racist to be like, oh, okay, that's a black guy. Or, oh, okay, that's right. A Hispanic man. That's not, because that's what I think most people have. It's just an acknowledgement that this is somebody of a different mm-hmm. race. Or people who say like, I don't see color, they must be actually colorblind. but what I'm saying is that it's natural to be like, when you're with a group of people and there's like one black guy, you're like, oh, that's a black guy.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's not like I don't think that's racist to go like an acknowledgement of something that's
not racist.
An acknowledgement of something that's right. not weird.
That's an observation.
It's just observation.
It's a physical, biological observation.
I think people are observationally racist.
I think people are racist in ways they're unaware of. Like even they might not say like, I hate this race, but they might feel a certain way inside when they're around a certain race.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a racist feeling.
You want to know, I'm racist towards like middle-aged, weird-looking white guys. Have I told you that before?
No.
Well, it's not, it's not racist. Okay, because.
So you don't like me?
No, not you. Just like weird-looking like white guys that look like they're going to shoot up a place. Like I don't know if that's a racist thing or a fear, because it's playing into a fear based off of their skin color and the way, how old they are and everything. Because yesterday I was at the doctor and there was this guy who was he was walking up and down the hallway, and I was just in this waiting room and I could just see him. He's walking up and down the hallway. Yeah. He's like looking in the rooms and he's like balding and it's not his fault. None of this is his fault. It's fine. Like it's not his fault. And I could tell he was a little bit off, but it was just all these characteristics of all these things and the way he was acting was just like really suspect. Mm-hmm. But if that was a black guy, I wouldn't have thought anything of it at all. If that was an Asian guy, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. If it was a Mexican, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. It was a white guy. And that triggered in my head, like, some shit's about to go down because this guy's fucking crazy.
I think that's a little bit racist because you're like, all right, white guy, sketchy looking. White guys shoot people.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm being genuine. Yeah. And this is a fear. This is a kind of racism that I think is kind of new. Is I'm not racist against like white people in any way. I'm just racist against that specific kind of white person because I'm terrified of that.
Right.
So like, but that's, I mean, I can take back what I said because I am kind of racist.
Yeah.
Everybody, but just towards that.
Everybody is, dude.
Yeah.
And
it's a good soundbite to have. I am a little racist.
And I'll speak for fellow white dudes in their 30s. Is that whenever we talk about... All right, I'll speak for myself. Whenever I talk about race, I'm like, oh, don't talk about this.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear this.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, it's going to be perceived as racist.
I suppose.
I've been trying to talk about that on stage. And I've been trying to talk about white privilege.
But why can't you have, just because the color of your skin, you can't have a dialogue about the color of people's skin? I don't understand.
Right now...
I know right now what's happening. Yeah. I'm not saying, I don't think that's right though. I think everybody should be able to have like a dialogue about shit openly. Totally. As long as there's no like fists being thrown or slurs being said.
Yeah, right now.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, right now people don't really want to hear from middle-aged white dudes. I'm 34. That's not middle-aged yet. I'll live till I'm like 90.
You're about to hit the line. You're about to kind of cross that like middle line.
Fuck.
40 is when you're middle-aged.
Oh, yeah. That's what I consider middle-aged.
Oh, right now you're not middle-aged. Right now you're like, what would that be called?
I'm just a little kid.
You're like a frat boy adult.
Yeah, and I look like one.
Yeah.
I look like a weak frat boy.
Yeah.
I look like a malnourished frat boy. If only I could not flub these lines, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I look like a malnourished flat boy.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It's funny. I just did a show at the Improv, actually, this past Tuesday. It was Jamie Kennedy's, one of Jamie Kennedy's new shows that he's been experimenting with. It's called I'm Offended. Mm. And the goal is to have... Jamie wanted people who are uptight to be in the audience.
Yeah.
So we would just do our normal material. And then whenever they felt uncomfortable or offended, they would say, I'm offended. And then we'd talk about it. And,
okay.
And Jamie would explain why they shouldn't be offended. It was a wild show.
Was people it? Yeah, I was about to say, like, how did that go?
It was chaos. Everyone had to lock their phones up. So no one could film anything.
Yeah.
There's this company called Yonder that comedy clubs use sometimes. It just locks up your phone, and you can't access it until the door guy unlocks it for you.
Yeah.
It's like a little fabric pouch. So comedians felt safe. Our careers wouldn't be ruined by just experimenting with new ideas.
Yeah.
And the show was crazy. Like, people were shouting out too much.
Yeah.
But not even being offended.
Just because.
It was tough... We learned that people there just were difficult to offend.
The people that you were with?
The people in the audience.
The crowd?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I think most of the world just isn't offended. Most of the world doesn't give a fuck about what people say.
Where did you do that?
It was at the Hollywood Improv Lab, which is where our show is.
Oh, well, I was about to say, if it wasn't in L.A., that makes sense why there wasn't that much offense.
People in L.A. are pretty...
People who go to comedy clubs...
They act offended, people in L.A., least.
Well, people who go to comedy clubs in L.A. that aren't, like, fucking shitty coffee shops where, like, a hipster coffee shop where it's, like, alternative comedy night or whatever. Like, other than that, if you go to any other comedy place, I feel like everyone's kind of open to being like, all right, let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
Because you have to understand, a lot of young people, like a 11 to like 21 don't watch stand up.
Oh, I know.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
They don't know any stand up comedians. They've told me, like, I've talked to some people and they're just like, ah, it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's just not funny to me.
I think that has in large part to do with their life experience. They can't relate to these adults talking about life.
Yeah. Maybe, but also like it's because the new comedy, because I was wondering what that meant, because I made something recently called Parenting in 2050. That was just a joke. It was just about what it's going to be like to parent a child in the future. And it's like,
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And basically it just is like, hey, non-gender specific parent, or like, hey, non-binary offspring, just like talking to each other, like very like artificially.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed to say like, I love you to each other. And he can't call him honey. Because then that's harassment, shit like that. Like, it's very basic stuff. I thought it was funny, but somebody was like, ugh, making fun of PC culture. Let's try and get some real comedy. And I was like, okay, that's fine that you don't find this joke funny, but what is real comedy to you? Like, what does that mean? Because comedy is the most subjective thing on the planet. Yeah. So it's like, what is real comedy?
People...
I don't know what that means in the new age. Like, I really don't know what comedy is anymore.
We are in the thick... of a crazy time in comedy. Comedy is dangerous. Stand-up is dangerous. Like, I could say something, and it could end my career.
Yeah. No, it can't.
So that's a little scary. Comedians need to work harder to articulate themselves better. And comedians do need to work harder to not offend people. And I think it's a good challenge.
But
don't deviate from your ideas, comedians.
Mm-hmm.
But work a little harder to find a way to... not alienate a large amount of people.
Sure.
Joe Rogan talks about that a lot from his new special.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you were just saying, your thing. Oh yeah, we're in an age right now where comedy is hella woke.
Well, it's like, but none of that stuff is funny though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like that woke, it's just not, I mean, granted, going back to the subjective thing, I've never found any of that humor funny. It's just not, it's just like, it's just saying something that's true or whatever, but it's not, there's no funny thing behind it. It's just a true fact.
Now, I'm sure
it's like no one cares.
There are comedians who can do it funny. Jim Jefferies is woke, but he's not, but he's funny. He's got punchlines.
Yeah. Jim Jefferies, and he also has good delivery and shit.
Yeah.
I have yet to see a woke millennial comic that I enjoy. Every single one. I've just not, I haven't dug.
Did you see Nanette? Hannah Gadsby special?
I heard about it. I didn't watch it.
I haven't watched it either.
I heard that it's really just a, it's one of those like.
It's a TED talk with jokes.
Basically, it's like post comedy. I was like, what does that mean? Post comedy.
I hear it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I was talking about it with my therapist. Yeah. She saw it. She was like, I thought it was great. But like, I don't know. They're like, you don't need to have all these serious moments.
And she said that?
Yeah.
Oh.
And she was like, and also she was really saying some hurtful things about men. If I was a dude, I could definitely get offended by that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Apparently she shits on men. But uh-huh. Men have been shitting on women for years, so it's our turn. Whatever.
There's always going to be someone who gets shat on. There's always going to be a hierarchy, and then there's going to be low.
Yeah.
Like the king, like whoever's the king's shitting on the peasants.
Yeah. Someone or something will be the butt of the joke.
Or the butt of the joke, or even just like, there's always going to, I always just have this idea that there's always going to be hate. It just gets like transferred from one group of people to another, to a this, to a that. So like for us, it was, everybody hated black people in America for the longest time, or was racist against black people for no reason. There was like zero reason to do it. But we did that, and so now it's flipped, and now white people are the people that are hated for just cause. I'm not saying that it's not, you know, like we've done some bad things, but like it's just transferring the hate, and it's not like, you know what I mean? It's fine because that's how it's always been, but it's just kind of sad because like what's next like after this?
Yeah, do we just keep doing this cycle?
Yeah, or does it end it? If it ends at white people, I'd be fine with that. But if it, I don't want to keep going to other.
What you mean ends and stays with white people?
Sure, I would find. I don't want it to keep going. I want it just end with something. It's been going from fucking thing to thing to thing, and if it just lands at white people, I'd be fine with that.
You know what? I would probably come up with better material if I was more oppressed. So I'm down to be hated for the rest of my life. But I agree. You know, men have been shitting on women in this country for years, I guess. I don't know. We've had the advantage over women. Mm-hmm. And now the tables have turned. Women have more rights. Well, they've always had equal rights, technically, for years and years now. But they have more say, more power, more leverage than ever, which I think is great. They should have always had the same amount of leverage.
Yeah.
But I don't enjoy the fact that women are like, some women are shitting on men so much. Like hardcore feminists are like, all right, you're doing what you hate.
Yeah.
You're shitting on me because I'm a man. You think I'm less than.
Yeah.
That's what you don't want. So I get a little frustrated with that.
But those are people that are using their femininity for like superiority complex thing.
And I just had an internal thought of like, dude, you're just a white guy. Nobody wants to hear you talk about this.
You just had that thought?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no one wants to hear you complaining about not wanting to hear you.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's true.
Jamie introduced me on stage at his I'm Offended show. He was like, this next comedian, he's in his 30s, and he's a straight white male. He is the enemy. Give it up for Rydoon.
That's fucking funny. But, I think it's going to keep... I think it's going to maybe get worse. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much hope for that, like, for the whole hate thing getting better. I don't think it ever can. I think that's just a human quality inside.
There are too many people on this goddamn earth.
Because think about it. Think about this. Those people that, even the woke people that are saying, like, oh, white people are trash and feminists, yay, and white men, no. So by saying something is trash, that's hate. You're still there's still hate there. Right. It doesn't matter what you're directing it towards. It's still there.
Some people would call that an act of violence just by saying something hateful. It's not an act of violence. All right, go on. Sorry.
No, it's just like that's what I'm saying. Of like, I don't think the hate people like we have to negate hate or whatever the fuck. And it's like, that's never going away. Right. It's just never going away. It's always going to be there in one capacity or another. So get used to it.
This is going to sound cliche and like I'm full of shit, just quoting somebody's AIM profile from the early 2000s. But I think in order to know what love is, you gotta have had you gotta have had the feeling of hate, or it helps to get the perspective of love. You gotta know what hate feels like. Just like what's another example? Like having competition. When you lose, you feel like a loser. That motivates you to be a winner. So, like, if you hate somebody, you know what that feels like. You're like, all right, I don't want to feel that way. And then when you feel love, you're like, oh, this is so much better than hate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I want somebody to tattoo the whole paragraph of what I just said. Stutters and all.
Oh, man.
It ends with, I think I questioned it. I said, right? make a strong statement followed by, am I right?
Oh,
I don't know.
Shit.
But yeah. But yeah, dude. Anyways, I'm going on a cruise tomorrow.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was about to say, talk about a privileged white guy. Oh, you go from talking about that. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm going on a Property Brothers cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan and Drew Scott.
Mm-mm. I don't know. Have I met them?
I don't know.
I don't think so, but
you know of them.
Yeah, I know of them.
They know of you.
Where are you going? You're going where?
Going to the Bahamas.
On a Carnival Cruise Line?
On a Carnival Cruise Line. Mm, free trip.
Nice.
Because I did a show on Guru Hub Network, which is a platform they started.
You taking your lady? You taking Jen?
Taking my broad.
All right. That's going to land you some more comments in your therapy.
It should be fun. The boat is way bigger than the last time I went on, so like they'll have some little bit of room to breathe. I'll tell you what, the first time I went on this Property Brothers cruise, I feel like I found out what it's like to be a hot girl.
Really?
Because I was on this cruise, I was one of the only men on the cruise, let alone just men. And then I was also one of the only youngish men.
Mm-hmm.
I was 32. And this was on a cruise full of divorced women who love the Property Brothers.
Yeah.
So it was like, I don't know, it's not misogynistic, but it was a boat full of horny women.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said bra.
You were, like, it's, you fought against that.
Man, got to get that out of my language.
Mm.
So I'm happy that Jenny, my girlfriend's coming with me, so I can, so like,
so you can,
they won't hit on me as much.
Yeah.
I really did get hit on a lot.
It can be deterrent.
And I was like, is this what it's like to be a hot girl?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was trying to be polite. I get the Meghan Trainor song now. Like, my name is... No, my number is... No, my sign is leave me alone. I really wanted women to just leave me. I wanted them to leave me alone. I don't want to...
You don't want to be hounded all the time for your cock.
Stop.
You're more than that.
And women... It's weird.
Yeah.
Women are allowed... Seemingly allowed to pinch men's nipples. My nipples were touched so much... Mm-hmm. During that trip, during photos,
yeah,
women were grabbing my crotch.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, it's funny when it's done to me. If you're over 40, you're allowed to grope me, apparently.
Yeah.
It's weird. This happens a lot with comedians during meet and greets.
Really?
Yeah.
And people just grope their genitalia? It's
pretty much women over 50. Drunk women over 50,
mm-hmm,
they will grab your dick.
Well, they don't care anymore, those women, you know.
I guess
they just don't. They don't care. They're just like, I'm gonna take what I take it what I want.
They are pretty direct.
Yep.
But yeah, I have that cruise coming up. That'll be fun. Hopefully, I'll get some good stories for the pod.
Hopefully, can you please fucking like I don't know, like light something on fire so that we have something to talk about next week?
Can you please experience something in your life?
Yeah, experience something fucking groundbreaking.
I'm
monumental.
I'm a little bit nervous because I don't know. I hope industry doesn't come to our live podcast. Because I'm going to have one straight week of doing no stand-up. So I'll be like, ooh, fuck, all right, got to do my
best. The cruise is a week long?
I leave tonight, and we come back on the 7th, and the show is on the 8th. The cruise is five days long, but we're going a day ahead to spend some time in Miami.
Yeah.
And yeah, fly back on the 7th.
Maybe you should try some stand-up just gather some people on the cruise and take them into a room and be like, hey, I have to practice my stand-up on you.
I've thought about that.
Oh, man.
I'm already trying to get gigs in Miami tomorrow. So if anyone in Miami has any hookups for some stage time, I'll be in Miami. Oh, fuck. No. This isn't.
What?
I'll be
yeah. You wouldn't be.
When this episode airs, I'll be on the boat.
Fuck.
But typically,
God damn it.
Typically, cruise ships have comedy shows, so I'm just going to find the host of that their comedy shows and be like, listen, I have 10 minutes of dark material that is sure to bomb in front of this cruise crowd, but I need to practice.
Please don't let this ruin your trip, guys.
So, yeah, what do you got going on this week?
I got, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to write more because I stopped doing that for a while, like a couple weeks. And what do I have going on? I don't know.
How was your Thanksgiving? Any awkward family moments?
My dad just said he would have killed himself if we were gay. But other than that, it's fine.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. Jesus Christ. What was I going to say? No, it was fun. I mean, it was fun. It was good. It was a good Thanksgiving.
Nice.
As opposed to one that I was just kind of like, because I've sometimes dreaded them in the past.
Same.
Yeah. But there's no reason to. It's not like there's nothing wrong with my family or anything. It's just like, sometimes I dread it. But this time I was like, oh, okay. This is nice. Because I also realized that like my parents are getting older and they're not going to be here forever.
Yeah.
And also I'm getting older and we're also not always going to be here together forever.
Right.
So I'm like, I should probably enjoy this.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be here forever.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, but I was like, eh. It's true. I'm like, that's how I thought about it.
So you called everyone in your life to tell them you love them.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
And they were like, dude, stop being so gay.
It's true.
Oops, my bad.
It's all right. Homophobia.
I was just kidding, everybody.
Right. You know, I've been listening to you for 36 minutes talk, and I can diagnose you as a racist, sociopathic, misogynistic pig.
Okay. That's fair enough.
All right, cool.
You have the right to have that opinion. Yeah, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
No presents. You just eat and drink.
And then you go to sleep.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice, but the one thing I just can't take is cranberry sauce.
What kind? The real kind? The chunkiness?
Either.
I love the canned stuff.
Oh, really?
Love it.
Jesus Christ.
Love it.
Why?
It tastes so good. I love the texture.
Oh.
I love the way that it still looks like a can.
This is the most offensive thing you've said on the podcast.
When you take it out of the can, it still looks
like a can.
Like a can, yeah. I like feeling the rivets like of the can on the jello thing. Gelatin, gelatinous film.
Yuck. Dude. No, even either or. I would probably like throw up if it was in the can, but if it was in the... Regularly, I'm just like, I don't understand it.
I hate the real stuff. I like a big fan of stuffing.
Mm.
I like the way it just marinates in the turkey's asshole.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm into butt stuff.
Yeah.
Do you eat
the turkey? Do you eat it out?
Yeah.
You eat the stuffing out of the turkey's asshole?
Well, oh, I thought you meant like lick it's supposed to eat it out.
No, I mean that too.
Before it goes in the oven, I make sure to give it a nice licking to help like, you know, tenderize the meat.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways, yeah. You know what I'm a big fan of, too? Mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like that stuff. I went to Victoria Asher's place for Thanksgiving this year.
Vicky T,
former guest of the pod. And then I met up with Jenny and her friends. She did a Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
So I did two Friendsgivings.
Nice.
Here's a quick little story of something bad.
Of misogyny?
No.
Damn it.
Of capitalism.
Almost as good.
It was my duty to bring mac and cheese to Victoria's party.
Mm.
So I was like, all right, I'll just go to Cantor's Deli.
I love Cantor's.
They're open on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Then I ordered mac and cheese for 20 people. Took a long ass time. And then they bring it to me and they're like, all right, $36. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, it's just noodles and cheese. It should be cheap. Mm-hmm. So I handed him $40. He was like, oh, $236. And I was like, what? I spent $236 on mac and cheese that barely anyone ate.
Jesus Christ.
So I guess I wanted to say, fuck you, Victoria.
You spent $200 on mac and cheese.
It's my own fault.
I spent fucking less than that on two coats yesterday. Two coats.
I know.
That was clothing that I could wear.
My coat.
Made from fucking, I don't know.
Mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Weird how like Yeah, weird how that works. Yeah. I have a coat right now that I love, has a hole in the pocket. Can I afford to get a new one? No.
Because you spent it all on fucking mac and cheese.
Because of fucking mac and cheese.
God damn it.
But I just had to swallow that.
Puss.
And I just had to push that shock and anger deep down inside and just be grateful that I was sharing mac and cheese with people I didn't know next to Victoria.
That's what Thanksgiving's all about. Sharing mac and cheese with people you don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, Victoria texted me, he's like, can you get beer? So I got beer for everybody, too. And I was just like, God damn it.
Hey, man, it's okay. Everything's going to be fine.
I'm a really good friend. I do things for love.
Yeah. You do things for love, not for hate. Because, you know, if you, like, never know what hate is, then you can't love.
That's
you know
right.
What I mean?
Dude, speaking of love.
Yeah.
We have an ad.
Do we really?
Yeah. Praise the Lord, I can finally talk about this sponsor because they sent us some products and it changed my life.
Did it now?
Almost.
Hmm.
From here on out, I'm eating grass-finished beef, grass-fed beef. I am only eating organic meat because our sponsor is ButcherBox.
ButcherBox.
ButcherBox delivers healthy 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork. It is extremely high quality. What did you think about it?
I thought it was pretty good. You know, I like the taste of the animals in my mouth.
Yep. They sent some ground beef, and I had it, and it was amazing how much better it is than the ground beef I have been getting at normal grocery stores.
Hmm.
I was shocked, and I was like, yeah. Why have I been treating myself so poorly?
Yeah. I think it's because you enjoy it, Rye. I think you like to hurt yourself from the inside.
I like the pain. No, really, it's because I felt like I just couldn't afford high-quality meat.
Yeah.
Up until I discovered ButcherBox.
ButcherBox.
Here's how it works, y'all. You choose from curated boxes, including a mix of high-quality beef, chicken, and pork, or customize your own box.
Mm.
It is high-quality, healthy protein you can trust. Mm. 100% grass-fed and finished, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, and antibiotic hormone-free.
It's sad we live in a world where all those are talking points,
right?
And like those are like good quality. That just used to be how it was.
Well, let's change the world. Get ButcherBox, y'all. I'm telling you, I have almost given them free shout outs because it's been on my mind.
Mm.
But I need paper. So think of ButcherBox as your neighborhood butcher, delivered right to your door on dry ice. And even that was fun. I got some cool dry ice to play with. I almost couldn't get that out of my mouth.
Yeah, you almost died.
Their website is super informative. The difference in quality of meat compared to others, like I said, it was shocking to me. And it's affordable. That's what makes ButcherBox so great. So affordable, especially for our listeners, because for free bacon and $20 off your first box, go to butcherbox.com/dad and enter promo code DAD. That's right, folks, for free bacon and $20 off your first box, do this. Go to butcherbox.com/dad and enter promo code DAD.
ButcherBox.
That was a good little tie-in. We were talking about Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. Went to ButcherBox. I think the ad was a little too late in this episode.
I agree. I don't think we're going to get any more work, Rye. I think it's time to pack it up, call it quits, and kill ourselves.
Maybe we should, I didn't tell you this. I laid off Oliver.
Officially?
Yeah.
He's gone?
He's gone.
Oh. We either have everyone leave. Why does everyone either leave or we push them away?
Yeah, we laid off Oliver. We had to. We couldn't afford him.
Mm.
You know, we were paying him $100 an episode at first, and within 2 weeks, he was asking for $200,000 an episode.
What a rat bastard.
Yeah, rat bastard. So leave Oliver some hate comments.
Yeah, yeah. Go find Oliver. Please don't do that.
No, I'm totally kidding. Oliver was great, but honestly, I can't. We can't afford it. Just right now, the payoff from the money we were giving him wasn't
good enough. Or was it? It wasn't like evening out.
We're not ready for it.
Yep.
We got ahead of ourselves. We still got to do most of the work on our own. But Oliver, we love you. He did a great job.
He did.
I want him to keep working with us, but A girl did hit me up on Instagram saying she lives in LA, she's works in editing and wants to do stuff for free. So I'll hit her back up, send her a dick pic.
Okay.
Whoopsie.
Whoopsie daisy.
Misogyny. I'm going to take a sip of coffee.
Go ahead, ASMR. Oh, your beard on the mic. Nice.
You know, one woman after one of the shows with Jamie, this was a weird thing to say.
What?
She was like, great job. I can't tell if you're gay or straight, but great job.
To who?
To me. I do have...
feminine qualities.
Yeah, I have some material where it's designed to make the audience question my sexuality.
Oh, I mean, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a little weird for her to vocalize it. Like, I can't tell if you're gay or straight, but either way, good job. I was like, all right. I said, like, oh, I love making people uncomfortable, so thank you. And I'm straight. Or am I?
Yeah.
And then she ran away.
It's good to scare away your audience, right?
Yeah. I like to make people feel uncomfortable. That's good comedy.
You know what else is good comedy?
What?
Being woke.
Yeah. Saying the right thing.
Say the right thing, like the movie.
Do the right thing.
Yes.
I just rewatched No Country for Old Men.
Yeah?
Hadn't seen it since it came out. I like it 30 times more than I first watched it.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe just because I have a stronger sense of... I'm better at paying attention to things. I have a better attention span than when I was, than when I did.
Are you sure? Are you sure about that, man?
I have to pee. I wonder if I can bring this into the bathroom with me.
Yeah, bring the mic into the bathroom and then put it next to your cock while you pee.
It's not long enough.
All right.
My dick. But yeah, No Country for Old Men. Good shit on Netflix right now, people.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing movie.
I do wish it had more resolution at the end.
I disagree.
There is resolution. You know what happens. You know what happens.
But you just wish it had more of like a payoff, like a big thing.
I don't want to give away any spoilers.
No, I mean, you wouldn't be. People, that's like notorious for having like an ending that people don't like.
I wanted justice to be had.
Well, Rye, in this day and age, sometimes justice doesn't be served the way it should be.
Well said.
No.
I gotta pee real bad. All right, dude, I'm gonna put you to a challenge.
What's the challenge?
Tell an interesting story for the next minute and a half.
Really?
While I pee.
All right. All right, so now you're just with me. Now this is the Brandon podcast. Hey, everybody, how's it going? So I have an interesting story about Rye. Very interesting story. It's the story about how we first met. I was a 19-year-old little baby boy, and he was a 30-year-old big, hulking, scruffy, bloated man. And I remember Rye came into my room. I said, "Hey, what are you doing in here?" And he went, "Don't worry about it. You want to make some vines?" And I went, "Oh yeah, sure thing, buckaroo." And we took out our phones and started making some magic. You know what I mean? And after we were done making that magic, Rye was like, "Hey, what do you say we keep this magic going, if you know what I mean?" And I said, "Rye, why are you looking at me like that?" And he said, "Because I see every time I look in your eyes, I see a river, a glistening river in Yellowstone." And I went, "Rye, ooh, no one's ever talked that sexy to me before." And I went, "Yeah, I mean," and he went, "Yeah, I bet they haven't." And I went, "Well, watch. Plop one right here, big guy." And I pointed to my mouth, and then he slowly but surely came towards my mouth with his mouth. And right before his lips touched my lips, I remember feeling scared but also very excited. And honestly, as soon as he hit my lips with his lips, I was like, "This is what it feels like to come." Oh, there's Rye. He's back. Anyways, at the end of that story, we just left and we got like Papa John's. That's what happened after. Cool.
Wait, you talking about the party you went to last night?
No.
Oh. What'd you talk about?
Nothing.
Did you say nice things about me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, man.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I can't wait to listen back. Didn't you go to a party last night?
I did. I went to... I just went to a party and I just... I, I'm pretty sure it's the last one I'm going to go to because I just can't. I can't do it anymore. It's just like, you just get into 20 conversations with fucking 20 people that you're paying half attention to. Like you're paying half attention to all the conversations because there's too much happening around you, and you feel like kind of like an asshole. But you're also like, how is somebody supposed to have a fucking, you know, like focused convo when there's like 30 people talking? Yeah, man, totally. You know what I mean? There's like 30 people talking, and everybody is like, somebody's chugging fucking Fireball, and then there's somebody who's jumping in a pool, and it's just like,
there's no.
That's why when I'm at parties, I just like, I try not to conversate, but I try to just like
converse.
What?
Converse.
I try not to conversate, but I just try to like be. I was waiting for you to do it again.
No, oh, okay. I just let it go.
Thanks. I try to converse, but now it's more like I'm just like, I just walk around and just like kind of fuck around in the sense of conversation. Like I just don't like, nothing of value is going to be said at one of these parties. Nothing of depth is going to be said. I've just come to terms with that. Like,
yeah, right, dude. There's probably people on Coke who have a lot of important things to say.
Yeah, they have a lot of ideas that they just need to get out. Like fucking...
Like, dude, we should go skiing tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's more of a drunk thought, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hear you. Just, you know, it's tough to conversate at parties.
It's not that it's tough. It's just that it's like, I'm like, ugh. Like, why are we talking about something that, like, we're both not going to remember anyways because we're both drunk?
Yeah.
It's like, why don't we just, like, I don't know.
Me at parties, I get socially anxious sometimes. That's why I don't love parties.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I'm like, oh, does that person know me? Do I say hi to them? What's their name? Oh, well, fuck, what's their name?
Yeah. And then you forget their name, and then they come up to you, and they go, what's my name? And you're like, don't ask me that. Don't fucking ask me that question. God. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, don't ask that. What kind of party was it? College?
Sort of. It was like kind of like an influencer party, sort of. Cool. A lot of internet people.
So a lot of ironic dabbing.
No, actually, surprisingly, I was the only person ironically dabbing. I thought there was going to be more.
Yeah, I hear you. I sometimes watch the stories from like Heath, Zayden Heath. And like, man, their life looks tiring.
Yeah.
Just always yelling and dancing.
Oh, man. I don't know how they do it, those guys.
Literally always dancing. Music.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, sit down.
Constantly drinking. Like, it's... I don't think that's their lifestyle all the time,
no,
but it is.
No.
But even for me, like, I wouldn't be able to do that, like, every night or every other night even.
Yeah.
It's just like... Only because it's just... I guess my body's just not built for it. I guess theirs are just fucking, they're built like oxes.
For me, it just looks too loud.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, just turn the music down, man.
Yeah. Hey, you go up to the, hey, just turn the music down, man. But actually, it was funny. There wasn't even music playing at this one that we went to.
Oh, no.
It was just talk. It was, everybody was just talking.
That sounds terrible to me.
Oh,
you got to have music at a party.
No.
Whenever I go to a party and there's no music, it makes me angry. So I'm like, be a good host.
Yeah.
Put some fucking music on.
Okay, you just calm down. Everything's gonna be fine.
Sorry.
All right.
No music. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, you couldn't fucking hear it anyways because there were so many conversations happening.
Jesus. Who had this party? It was just a YouTuber?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Influencer party.
Yeah.
You know that, speaking of... social media and stuff. Black Christmas trees are becoming popular as opposed to green.
Why?
Because the color black looks better on social media. So people are buying black Christmas trees just so they can post them on social media.
Mm.
That bums me the fuck out.
Yeah. That's that's like some weird Russian shit. Get a black Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Fucking covered in oil.
No, that part doesn't bum me out. It's just like people, I don't know, just like social media, man.
Yeah.
It's not real. I get a little fed up with how fake it is, and it's ruining people's lives.
Yeah.
It's like making people so sad.
Yeah.
And I just watched a lecture by Simon Sinek.
Mm-hmm.
It's a viral video on YouTube called Millennials in the Workplace.
Yeah.
And it talks about how people born approximately 1984 to now were raised improperly by our parents being told that we could do anything with our lives.
Yeah.
And that we're special. And now millennials are realizing that they're not special and they can't do anything.
And they don't know how to take it.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with it.
And people of all ages are highly addicted to their phones, and it is a true addiction. When you get a text or a like, it releases dopamine to your brain, which is the same thing that alcohol and drugs do.
Mm.
So it is a drug, and I'm addicted to it. Not nearly as bad as some people I know.
Mm.
But put down your phone. Keep listening to this podcast.
Put down your phone. Okay, yeah, thanks, middle-aged white guy.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear your fucking opinion. You shut up, asshole.
Right? Boring.
Boring. God.
Wrong.
Wrong. And, oh, what, you really expect me to listen to a fucking white guy?
Bigot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm told my life has been easy.
Yeah, your life's been easy. Just simply because of the way you look.
I have white privilege, meaning I can have conversations with cops. I'm told this is a luxury. Yeah, my life has been easy. Nothing has gone wrong.
Nope.
There's no mental illness in my family. There's no alcoholism. There's no cancer.
No.
None of my family has died.
Yep.
My best friend Jake didn't die when I was 20.
Mm.
My mom didn't go to a mental hospital.
Mm.
I didn't almost kill myself last year.
Yeah.
My life has been easy, dude.
It's been easy peasy. You want to know why?
Because I'm white.
Hell yeah, bro.
This has been a fun episode.
Eh? Yucks and yucks and bucks.
Eh?
Eh?
I almost... All right. We did the ad 40 minutes in.
It's true.
It was supposed to be halfway through.
Fuck. It's okay. Just cut some stuff in between.
Yeah, maybe.
And then make it a halfway point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, check this out. I'm going to dab, ironically... on the podcast. You ready?
Do it.
Okay, you guys, you won't be able to see this, but trust me, it's going to be fucking crazy.
It's every day, bro. Whoa. Was that your elbow that just said that?
Yeah.
It sounded like me.
Mm.
So I will be trying to upload this podcast on a cruise ship. We'll see if it works.
Hopefully it does. If you guys are listening to it, why can't we talk?
I don't know.
Fuck. Anyways, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, that means...
It worked.
It worked.
And if you're coming to the show on Saturday, December 8th, just know that I will be exhausted and nervous because I will be flying back on the 7th, dude. Then a live pod with Chad Kroger from Chad Goes Deep.
I bet he does.
Will you help me sell this out with purchase tickets? Help me. If there's industry there, I need fans.
Wait, what? What do you want me to, what?
We got to sell this out. Okay. Let's sell it out, okay?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Also, I'll be in New Hampshire at the Shaskeen Pub, Manchester, New Hampshire, Wednesday, December 12th. I think it is December 12th. The Wednesday after the 8th, I'll be in Manchester, New Hampshire at the Shaskeen Pub, 9 p.m. show, 21 plus free show. That's a hot show.
Mm.
It's at a pub, but it is a fucking great fucking show.
Mm.
So fucking be there. Let's shout out our Patreon person.
Sure.
Trying to find his name and just kill time. Try to fill the time while I try to find his name. Here we go. Ross Miller, you are still paying $25 a month for this moment right now.
Ross, oh my God.
This is a personal shout out, Ross Miller, for donating $25 a month on our Patreon. You get videos, you get bonus episodes, and this personal shout out. Ross Miller, this is Ryan Dune from I'm Sorry Dad, and I love you.
Ross Miller, this is Brandon Calvillo from I'm Sorry Dad, and put the microphone very close to your ear.
Yeah.
You like that, Ross?
Oh, my God. I just got... I think I just got sexually harassed.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck.
Shit.
All right, this is our last episode ever.
I know.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Cool.